And this is what we must press in to do. We must have the spirit and truth worship on this mountain. People made their mountains, you know, their pyramids and all that. They're just mountains. They're ziggurats. They're Babylonian temples. They're Vatican's. You know, even the temples in Washington, D.C., they worship at the temple of politics or the temple of man. I shall be like God. I'm going to rule over you. I'm going to enslave you to my agenda. So whose king is your king? Whom do you serve? You cannot serve the cup of Belial. You cannot serve the cup of idols and the cup of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it. You can't serve God and you can't serve mammon. You cannot, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, the lust of man, all these things hinder you and obstruct your and cloud your vision and your direction. Worldliness, carnality is the worldliness, carnality, the carnal mind is the enemy of God because it cannot understand the things of God that are revealed by the Spirit. This is what the Word of God teaches us. Let's look at Ephesians. Well, let's first look at 2 Corinthians. This is in chapter, and then we'll go to Ephesians 6, 14. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. And we're talking about Jesus. Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 6. No, I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 2. And Ephesians is beautiful. It talks, it's the opening of the mysteries of God. God and what the Lord has done for us. In verse 11, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. This is talking the old covenant of circumcision and the uncircumcision that's by the Spirit in your heart. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who were near. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fit together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Okay, it's a spiritual house. It's a spiritual temple. It is not a temple that is made with stones and wood and timber. It is the Hebrews. It is the mountain of the Lord, okay, that is spoken of in Hebrews, which we're jumping back to. We were in Hebrews earlier. Hebrews chapter 12 about the shaking. Don't refuse him who speaks. 25, for if you did not escape who refused him. What are they talking about? Well, let's go back up here. I think we should wind back the tape a little bit. About, he's talking about the old covenant in chapter 12. He says, you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape him who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now his promise, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. Where was that? In Haggai chapter 2. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are not are made, that things which cannot be shaken may remain. In other words, the earthly temple and the ordinances and all those things under the Mosaic covenant are being removed. Because the unshakable kingdom, which Jesus was the fulfillment in, my kingdom, yes, he said to Pilate, I am a king and I have a kingdom, but my kingdom is not of this earth. It is unshakable because this earth and everything that's carnal, worldly, and temporal is being shaken so that, the things which cannot be shaken may remain, the things that are eternal. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and a godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. And then there's other moral directives that we fulfill that by the example of our lives, what we live, how we conduct our behavior, and that we know that the word of God is written in our hearts, and we can fulfill it, the commandments of God, by the enabling of the Holy Spirit, the fire of God that's in us, and by maintaining faith in Jesus, our Messiah, who's our Savior and Deliverer. That these are the exceedingly great promises and hope. And this is the building that we are building. We are not building wood, hay, and stubble. We are building that which is eternal and remains forever. All right, let's go back to the first analogy of the vineyard. In Isaiah 5, it says, now let me sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved regarding his vineyard. My well-beloved has a vineyard on a very fruitful hill. He dug it up and cleared out its stones, and he planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in its midst and also made a winepress in it. So he expected it to bring forth good grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, please, between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Why then, when I expected it to bring forth good grapes, did it bring forth wild grapes? And now please tell me, please let me tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away its hedge, and it shall be burned, and break down its wall, and it shall be trampled down. I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned or dug. There shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain on it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are his pleasant plant. He looked for justice, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry for help. Woe to those who join house to house. They added field to field, till there is no place where they may dwell alone in the midst of the land. In my hearing, the Lord of hosts said, truly many houses shall be desolate, great and beautiful ones without inhabitant. For 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and a homer of seed shall yield one ephah. Woe to those who rise early in the morning that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night till wine inflames them. The harp and the strings, the tambourine and flute, and wine are in their feasts. But they do not regard the work of the Lord, nor consider the operations of his hands. Therefore, my people have gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. Their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged itself, hell, and opened its mouth beyond measure. Their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he who is jubilant shall descend into it. People shall be brought down, every man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. But the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment. For God and God, who is holy, shall be hallowed in righteousness. And God, who is holy, shall be hallowed in righteousness. Then the lambs shall feed in their pastures, and the waste places of the fat ones strangers shall eat. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as if with a cart rope. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to the mighty men at drinking wine. Woe to men valiant for mixing intoxicating drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Therefore, as fire devours the stubble and the flame consumes the chaff, so their root will be as rottenness and their blossom will descend like dust, because they have rejected the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, the anger of the Lord is aroused against his people. He has stretched out his hand against them and stricken them, and the hills tremble. Their carcasses were as refuge in the midst of the streets. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He will lift up a banner to the nations from afar and will whistle to them from the ends of the earth. Surely they will come with speed swiftly. No one shall be weary or stumble among them. No one will slumber or sleep, nor will their belt on their loins be loose, nor the strap of their sandals be broken, whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent. Their horses' hoofs will seem like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring will be like a lion. They will roar like young lions. Yes, they will roar and lay hold of the prey. They will carry it away safely, and no one will deliver. In that day they will roar against them like the roaring of the sea. And if one looks to the land, behold darkness and sorrow, and the light is darkened by clouds. Here the Lord clearly lays out in his vineyard, his nation, the judgment that came upon it because of the iniquity that was found in the vineyard. Now I want to look at Matthew 21:23 about the vineyard. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower. And he leased it to the vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, so there's a time for the harvest, for vintage time, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, They said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? And then he said to them, "He will destroy these wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons, that will give to God what belongs to God." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures?" In other words, they won't use those fruits to further their own ministries. They take possession of what's the Lord and claim it as their own and don't give the rightful inheritance to this son. To Jesus, they have stolen from God. Have you ever read the scriptures? "The stone which the builders have rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing and is marvelous in our eyes." These are the same. He's talking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees who ran the temple. And when they saw the temple, Jesus made flesh, the Word made flesh, they rejected him and they killed him. "Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but whomever it falls will grind him to powder." And now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitudes because they took Jesus, him, to be a prophet. And there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing has changed. The religious leaders still try to take what belongs to God and they build their own kingdoms and they put God's name on it. Jesus, they fly around in jets. They live in fancy apartments. They live in huge houses and they have exploited, as it says in Ezekiel, those that were his. They have exploited the Lord's flock. Anyway, it's in Ezekiel 34, and the Son of Man prophesying to the shepherds of Israel, prophesying, thus says the Lord God to the shepherds. "Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back what was driven away, nor sought what was lost, but with force and cruelty you ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the beasts of the fields where they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and on every high hill. Yes, my flock was scattered over the whole face of the earth, and no one was seeking or searching for them." And so the Lord says in verse 10, "Behold, I'm against the shepherd, and I will require my flock at their hand, and I will cause them to cease feeding the sheep, and the shepherd shall feed them no more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouths, that they may no longer be food for them. And God will deliver his vineyard into hands of laborers who will be righteous stewards and laborers and give to God the fruits of his vineyard." And so here we stand at harvest time, and the enemy is wanting to destroy the vineyards and the grapes of wrath, the wicked who've done wickedly. "Many shall come in that day and say, 'Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and heal the sick and cast out devils, demons?' He said, 'Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I don't know you.'" You don't have the heart of the good shepherd. You haven't laid down your life for the flock. You have extorted and swindled and were greedy, and you have ruined my flock and my vineyard and my house. Lord, deliver us. Father, we thank you that you will, as it says in Zechariah, "Do not despise the day of small beginnings. For the house of the Lord shall be kept, the fields shall be kept, the flocks shall be gathered. He shall gather his lambs like a shepherd. He shall take those that are with young, he shall hold them in his hands. He shall gather them up. He's the good shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. And those who follow after you live as example of Jesus, our Savior. And so, Lord, you will redeem and you will have your way. Father, what kind of wine, what kind of grapes? I know I call this Beaujolais or Cabernet. It's just kind of a play on There's different flavors. There's different kinds of anointings. There's different kinds of vineyards, but it belongs to the Lord. It's not ours for the laborers in the vineyards, for those who build and labor in the house. We're only workmen. We're only servants. And we get up and we continue to labor at the master's table because we owe him everything. The price of obedience is the cost is complete submission to the crucifixion, that I no longer live, but Christ lives in me to will and do his good pleasure. Let us cry out, God, help us be good and faithful stewards in your house, and that we do what you tell us to do and nothing more or less. In Jesus, our Savior's name, God bless you. This new year, 2012, a year of surprises and shakings and judgments and harvest in Yeshua's name. Amen.